So we are on the last skinny line on Samachay Amid Beis, right? Very beginning of the line. So I'm just getting over a cold that I've had since Yom Kippur, and finally started to shake it. I was bad at the subway. There was like no room to even cover your mouth, so I was like coughing to the heavens. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Ila ganav tlav inas ayil." Right, so someone steals a nice little lamb, and the lamb grows up to become a big ram. Right, so egel v'nasa shor, or he steals a calf, and the calf becomes a big bull. So nasa shinoi biyado. So the animal has there's been a shinoi here, right? A halachically significant change. It has turned from a baby animal into a big animal. Ukna'o, and therefore, right through the mechanism of shinoi, he has acquired the animal. Why do we care that he has acquired the animal? So now explains the Gemara. Tavachu machar shalohu tavach shalohu mocher. If after the animal grew up, he then slaughters or sells it, he does not have to pay dalad v'hei because it is now his animal, right? And you only have to pay dalad v'hei if you shach the animal that you stole, but that does not yet belong to you. So since the shinoi of the animal turning into a big animal happened in his possession, now it belongs to him, argues Rabbi Ila, you're not going to have to pay dalad v'hei. Okay. So now says objects Rabbi Chanina, Esi Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Ila, ganav tlav v'nasa ayil. So you have a brisa that if I steal a lamb and it becomes a ram, egel v'nasa shor, I steal a calf and it becomes a bull. Mishalim tashlume kefel v'tashlume arba v'chamisha ki'in she'ganav. So you pay the kefel penalty and you pay the dalad v'hei penalty based on the value of the object when you stole it. So there are two problems with that braisa that Rabbi Chanina just quoted, right? One is a problem for Rabbi Ila, and one is a problem for Rav, right? Rav, who is our original Gemara on Tzama Chaim and Aleph, right? How is this Gemara a problem for both Rabbi Ila and a problem for Rav?
Well, for Rav, firstly, it's a time tree, not personally, Arad Chamisha, to the time where the Shaman did.
Correct, exactly.
And then the issue for Rabbi Ila is that
right, exactly. Both are correct. Right, there's already been a shinoi. So Rabbi Ila just said you're pater for dalad v'hei because there is a shinoi, and here clearly we're saying that you're paying dalad v'hei. So that's a problem for Rabbi Ila, and there's a problem for Rav because we're saying that you're paying tashlumi kefel and arba v'chamisha ki'in shaganav, and we know that Rav what? Well, we said the animal grew up, right? It had been a baby animal, now it's become a big ram or a big ox.
Do we know that Bryce thinks that that's considered a
shinoi? Excellent question. That Rabbi La was assuming so, right? What does Rabbi Chanina think? Excellent question, right? So let's keep that in mind. In other words, we're gonna have to. Yeah. Rabbi La's gonna have to have some response to this Bryce, right? So Rashi already says, right, don't worry why the Gemara is not attacking Rav right now, because the Gemara is going to attack Rav in a few lines later on, Samach Tuvav Amid Aleph, right? So we'll take care of Rav later on. Right now, it's important to realize this braisa is a problem for Rav, and we'll get back to him. Let's continue with the Gemara, right? So right now, we have a problem for Rabbi Ila. Rabbi Ila just told us that if the baby animal grew up after you stole it, you're pater from dal v'hei, because it's a shinoi, now it's yours. And yet, here we're saying you have to pay dal v'hei, right? So it concludes Rabbi Chanina, v'yisal kadaitach, end of the third wide line, v'yisal kadaitach, kanye b'shinoi, amai m'shalem, shalo tevech, shalo humocher, right? So, Jacob, what does it seem like, Rabbi Chanina's attack is on Rabbi Ila? Right? He says, "Isal kadaitach kanye b'shinoi." If you're going to tell me that the shinoi made it your bull, then why are you paying? Right? So it seems like he's attacking the idea that shinoi kona. Right? It seems like he's admitting that there's a shinoi, and yet he thinks that it shouldn't belong to you. Right? That seems to be what he's saying. If I just read the Gemara in the most simple way possible. Correct, exactly. Right now, that's the basic question we're going to ask in Rechani. Does Rechani think that there is a shinoi, but it doesn't do anything? Or does he think that...
I happened to outline this argument yesterday.
Oh, amazing. I got nervous that you were talking about the... when you sent that WhatsApp about the marker not...
Oh, that was like... Oh, fine. What?
When you said the WhatsApp about the marker not working?
What?
No, I'm saying,
yeah.
So, and I was worried I was going to walk in here and it was going to be like all full. And you're going to like flip this over and like, ah! But, no. Okay, thank God. So, what is this here?
RC is
Dr. Flavi Kanina. Yeah. We just outlined.
Oh, awesome.
In like terms of Kenya or no Kenya and the arguments. Not the full arguments. Oh, yeah, Rabbi Ilah and Rabbi Kenya.
Okay, great. Cool.
I mean, we don't have to look at it, but I just thought it was.
That's smart. That's. Okay, so. Right, so that's Rabbi Chanina's question. Why are you, clearly there's no, Shinoi doesn't acquire it for you because we see this guy is paying Dal Behei even after the Shinoi, right? So if it's his, then he shouldn't have to pay. So what does Rabbi Ilah say back? And remember, Rabbi Ilah is an Amor, right? He has to deal with this Braisa. So, but he doesn't seem to really deal with the Braisa. Amalei, ve'alamai Shinoi lo kani, amai mashalem ki'in sheganav, Lishalem kihashta, right? So Rabbi Ilah responds not by answering the Braisa. He responds by saying that the way you're learning the Braisa is internally problematic, right? In other words, you know, maybe I don't have the pshat in the Braisa, but the way you're learning the Braisa makes no sense. Because if there's no kinyan, then the guy shouldn't be paying ki'in sheganav, right, based on the time of the original theft. He should be paying based on the current value of the object, right? Because if the object belongs to the person the whole time, right, and now the person is shechting it, so he should have to pay kefel dal den hay based on the now time, not based on the original time. right, so that's the response of Rabbi Ilah, right? Just that, you know, you've got a problem in the Braisa too. Don't pretend that I'm great and that I'm in disaster and you're great. You know, you've got a problem as well. So what does Rabbi Chanina say back? Amalei, kind of a mysterious line. Ki hashta haynu taima delo mashalim mishum damalei Torah ganvi mimach dichur ganvi mimach. Right. So Rabbi Chanina says back to him, no, the reason why you pay based on the old value and not based on the new value is because the thief can rhetorically ask the victim, did I steal an ox from you? Did I steal a ram from you? No, I stole a little baby animal from you. Now, the problem is, like, what exactly is Rabbi Chanina saying here? Rabbi Chanina seems to deny Shinoi, and yet he's seems to be kind of applying Shinoi in this line, right? He says, right, I'm like, this is not the animal that I stole from you, right? So you have to work out how to
But the way that you said originally through Rabbi Chanina, it's not that he's denying Shinoi, he's just denying that a Shinoi is Kona.
So
here too, he could be saying, the Shinoi isn't Kona, but since there's a Shinoi, Kihash doesn't make sense.
Right. In other words, that maybe Shinoi doesn't affect Kinyan, but Shinoi will do something else, right? Somehow Shinoi will affect what the payment is, right? Somehow your link to the object is under question. Honestly, I don't really have a good explanation right now for what Rabbi Chanina's is saying here. So I apologize for that. But the good news is that Rabbi Ilah is not very happy with Rabbi Chanina either. Right, because Rabbi Ilah says back to him, "Amalei Rachmana Mitzlan Mehai Daita." Right, so you know, God forbid us from your svara, that doesn't really make any sense. and then Rabbi Chanina says back to Rabbi Ilah, "Amalei Ad Rabba Rachmana Mitzlan Midaita Didach." Right, no, other way around. Right, God save us from your. So what?
You can have a very life.
Yeah, it's a great.
I know.
It's a great. line in general, in learning, in life, you know, the presidential debates, it works well. Okay, so that's so far we have is the two positions of Rabbi Ilah and the position of Rabbi Chanina, right? So Rabbi Ilah strongly endorses Shinoi Kona. Rabbi Chanina seems to question Shinoi Kona, but he still allows that a Shinoi is going to have some nafkamina, right? The fact that this is now not the same item that I stole, it grew up, means that my payment is going to go based on the old value, right, what I stole, and not based on the new object, what it has grown up and turned into. Okay, so let's go on in the Gemara, just because we've got to cover some ground. Okay, so says the Gemara. So Maskelfe Rabbi Zeira. V'nikninhu b'shinoi Hashem, right? So this is just good things to know about, right? So Rabbi Zeira asks, well, even if I don't recognize a shinoi haguf, you could say, right? I don't think that the change in the object itself is significant for Kenyan. Why not say that a shinoi Hashem should affect the Kenyan? What's a shinoi Hashem?
The name of the thing changed.
Yeah, exactly, right? What it used to be. Right, we used to call this lamb, and now we call this ram, right? We used to call this calf, and now we call this bull. So Shina Hashem, apparently, right, Shina Hashem should affect the Kenyan, even if Shina HaGuf does not. That's kind of interesting, right? I would have kind of thought the other way around, right? If you look at Rashi, Nikninu B'Shina Hashem, right? So Rashi kind of picks up on this. In other words, it's very strange to say that a real Shina HaGuf would not make a Kenyan, but that a Shina Hashem would make a Kenyan, right? Just in terms of pure Svara, I would think the other way around. I would think that, you know, a real Shinoi HaGuf is a more dramatic change than a Shinoi HaShem, right? Where just the name of the thing has changed. Rashi points out, and this would make us revisit Rabbi Elad and Rabbi Chanina, that the Shinoi in the last Sugya was not such a clear Shinoi, right? What does Rashi say? Nikninu b'Shinoi HaShem, Nihi d'Shevach Gufei Lo Heve Shinoi D'Memela Ka Shevach Va'azal. Right, the shinoi of the lamb becoming the ram isn't the world's greatest shinoi, right? Why? Because Rashi calls it a shinoi de memela, right? It happened by itself, right? Now, you could say it happened by itself because you sat there and it grew up. You could say it's a shinoi that happened by itself because this is like the way of the world, right? The natural progression, right? Those are two different ways to understand, shinoi de memela, and I can imagine chilukim between the two. But either way I go, Rashi has pointed out that this shinoi that we've been dealing with in our sugya is not the world's most dramatic shinoi. And perhaps a shinoi de memela would not make a kinyan, but a shinoi hashem, but a shinoi hashem, right, would, right? Mihu b'shma Vadai Ishtani, right? I'm not impressed by the change where it just grew up, but I am impressed by the change in the name. Okay, fine. I wonder if the fact that this is like a progressing shinoi also may be a significant. I don't know, but just throwing out there, right, that you have a difference where, in other words, a shinoi, I can imagine, like I have to have it be X, and then it has to become Y, right, as opposed to the bull, the calf, which, like, you know, it, every day it grows into its new position, as opposed to Shinoi Hashem, where at some point, you know, we go from calf, it's called calf, and then it's called bull, right? That's like a clear change. Maybe that's, you know, also an idea about difference between the Shinois. But really, I haven't had the chance yet to analyze Shinoi so well, so, you know, just putting this out there all is like, you know, introductory thoughts and introductory material, different shinuyim we have to be aware of, and fine. So let's go on to the Gemara, right? So Rabbi Zeira has asked, what's up with why not call this a Shinoi Hashem? Amarava, Rava gives a great answer. Amarava, shor ben yomo kari shor, ayel ben yomo kari ayel. Right. So the reason is because in fact there is no Shinoi Hashem. Every calf, right, from the day it's born, we call a bull, even when it's a baby bull, it's still called a bull, and we still call a baby ram a ram. How do I know that that's the case? Because look in the pesukim, tchsev shor tchsev. Shor ben yom kari shor dechsev shor o kesev o eiz ki yivaleid, right, when the shor is born, right? So this is right, so clearly the shor was born, we're calling it a shor, so that's not a shin hashem. And I'll be yom kari I'll dechsev ve eile tzonecha lo achalti, right, the eilim hudlo achal kivasim achal. In other words, what's Yaakov saying to Laban, right? Eile tzonecha lo achalti. Is Yaakov, like, you know, making a loophole for himself, saying, oh, I didn't eat your grown-up rams, but I did eat, you know, some of your other animals, right, and pulled the wool over Laban's eyes again? Right? No, what Yaakov was telling Laban is, I didn't eat any of your animals, right? I didn't eat anything, you know, the lambs, the rams, I didn't eat a single animal of yours. And so clearly when Yaakov said, I didn't eat your rams, he meant all age sheeps, or sheep. Fine. So, right, so we see that this is not a Shinoi Hashem. Okay. So then, Mikol Makom Kasha. What's Mikol Makom Kasha? Yeah, in other words, at the end of the day, if we revisit for a second, right, so Rabbi Yehuda had a statement. He said that you don't pay Dal Behei after the animal grows up. And Rabbi Chanina attacked him with a Braisa. And Rabbi Yehuda never really gave an answer to the Braisa, right? He said, well, you have a problem with the Braisa too. But, you know, that doesn't work. You have to actually explain how you fit with the Braisa. So, explains Rosheshes. And Rosheshes, Hamani Beis Shamaihi. No, the position of the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda was contradicting, that's okay because that was Beis Shamai. What does Beis Shamai think? Ta'amri Shunoi Bimkomo Omedes. Beis Shamai denies the concept of Shinoi, right? If the animal has a Shinoi, it still belongs to the original owner. Velokani. Disanya. Nasan la be esnana. So what's this talking about? This is esnanzona. What's esnanzona?
It's where you pay back for sexual favors with an animal, and the animal can't be used.
Correct. Right. If I pay a prostitute, or I purchase a dog. And I either pay the prostitute or purchase the dog with an animal, right? I don't pay in cash. I pay in animals because, right, animals are often used in the old economy for payment. So I can't use that animal as a carbon, right? If the prostitute did chuba, now she wants to bring carbonos, so she can't take all her nice flock that she's picked up and bring those as carbonos, right? And you know, the idea is obvious, right? It's because, right, we look at this animal as like, a chafza of, prostitute payment, or a chafza of, dog payment, and those, that's inappropriate to go on the mizbeach. So the question is, what happens if you have a shinoi, right? So could a shinoi allow the esnan zona and the mechir caliph? So the Raisa said, nasan lab esnana chitin, right? So she got paid in wheat sheaves for her services. What?
But we just didn't know what it was.
Okay.
Whatever.
So now,
it actually makes a difference.
But make a little more sense, hopefully.
What?
You
think it's, no, I'm just quoting.
So he's paying her in wheat, and then she ground the wheat into flour. Or zaysim vasan shem, right? He pays her in olives and she makes olive oil. Or he pays her in anavim vasan yayin, and then she makes wine out of it. So the question is, right, so can she bring, right, flour goes to the Beis Hamikdash as a mincha, and oil you'll put on your mincha, and wine you'll use for your nachasim, or if you just want to, nesachim, or if you just want to, bring wine to the Mizbeach, you can do that too, right? So since this is all the same thing, right, I was given wheat, but now it's flour, right? So can I use that as on the Mizbeach, right? So that is certainly a shinoi, right? So there's a machlokes, tanichada aser, tanichada mutter. So one Tanitic source says it's permitted, that the Mizbeach, and one Tanitic source says it's forbidden. Vam Rav Yosef, Tana Gurion de me Aspork, right? So the famous Gurion of Aspork told us that Beis Shammai osin Beis Hillel matirin, right? So, and the Gemara says, my Tana Beis Shammai, dechsev gam l'rabo shinu yehem, right? So the Pasuk said, gam, right? What's the exact Pasuk? Lo sevias nanzonom cherkelav beis Hashem lokacha lachol nader ki savas Hashem lokacha gam shneihem. Right, both of these things are toeva, so they can't be brought on the mizbeach. So what does gam tell me? So Bishamah tells me, gam tells me even the shinoi of these objects is forbidden. So ishiyach that Bishamah doesn't recognize shinoi. Now, if you think about it for a second, right, Bishamah could be saying that this is a unique chiddush in Esnan Zona Mechar Kalef, right? In other words, maybe in general, Beis Shammai recognizes the concept of Shinoi, but there's a Gzeres HaKasuv here, right, that Shinoi does not apply to Esnan Zona and to Mechar Kalef. I think that Rava says this later on in the Gemara, like a few Prakam later, but I don't know for sure. But anyway, so for now, we're assuming that Beis Shammai is rejecting the concept of Shinoi, and therefore Beis Shammai is not allowing you to bring the shinoid esnan zona or the shinoid mechir kalev, right, the prostitute's fare or the dog payment, those cannot be brought on the mizbeach even after a shinoid. And Basila say heim velo shinu yehem, right? So they say no, right? Them and not their shinuis, right? Their shinuis are good. Now Tosfos ask a really important question. The small Tosfos you have on the side, ha mani beshamahi. If you have a Gemara, you can see it easily. If you have it on the computer, so just open up the ha mani beshamahi and skip to v'im tomer. It's very short. Tosfos asks a question that like we need to be aware of, right? This is going to be another like basic investigative question when approaching shinui, even though we're not doing that yet. Which is Tosfos asks v'im tomer hechi medamale dema inyan esnan etzel shinui. Right, the Gemara is assuming an easy overlap between the world of shinui for theft and the world of shinui for esnan zona umechir kalev. Right, but you know any like Brisker Lemnos 101 is going to tell you that perhaps these are two different categories and two different halachic worlds. Right, so perhaps what's the requirement and concept of shinui in one area is not the same as the shinui of a different area. Right, maybe you need different things to happen. Now we've got to figure out what shinui does in Geneva, right? In general, the more universalistic svara I have for shinui, right? For example, well, this isn't the same object I stole, so of course it belongs to me, right? If that's your svara behind shinui kona, then it makes sense to apply to ask this question to have the same rules of shinui for esnan that you do for Geneva. Because all shinui means is this is normally the same object. It's something new, something different. It's not what I stole. It's not what I stole, so it belongs to me. It's not what I was paid for my services, so I can bring it on the mizbeach, right? If that's your svar, it makes a lot of sense. If I think that shinui is more germane to Geneva specifically, then you're going to have problems with this comparison, and that's exactly what Tosos asks. So what did Tosos answer? Yishlomar, dikasavar di shinui kone, imkein roi hu lahatir shinui be'esnan, dechashiv ka'acher. Ve'in oso shabaliyada betoras esnan. So Tosfos' answer seems to be that, yeah, right, we take the universalistic approach, and we say that shinui just means that this is chashiv ke'acher, this is considered as if it is something different, and therefore, right, we can use the same svar for esnan zona, for mechir kalef, and for geneva. Is it significant that Tosfos say chashiv ke'acher and don't say it's acher literally? Is it significant that Tosfos ask this question? Probably, right? But let's just be aware that this is probably going to be like a key marmakum for us going forward, right? The Gemara is applying the same rules for shinui for esnan that it's applying for Geneva. Tosfos are bothered by this, but then give the universalistic answer. Okay. Anyway, let's skip down a little bit because 39:40 and we want to finish by 10, so we only got 20 minutes. Right, so the bottom line that the Gemara has, right, so anyway, the Gemara will end up, dealing with Beisil Beishamai, right, so Rabbi Yila is okay, Rabbi Yila is not bothered by the Braisa, because the Braisa is simply the position of Beishamai, who says shinui is not kona, and he holds like Beisil, who thinks that shinui is kona. However, right, we said in the outset of the shiur today that the Braisa is not only a problem for Rabbi Yila, the Braisa is also a problem for Rav, right? Because Karen, Ke'in, Shaganav, Kefel, and Tashumi Kefel, and Dava Chamisha, Kashas, Hamada Bedin, was the position of Rav. And the Braisa contradicted that, right? The Braisa said that you pay everything Ke'in, Shaganav, right? So the Gemara finally comes around and asks that, right? So the Gemara says, the fourth line on Samach Bava Aleph, Ad kan lo pligi el demar sabar shinikon demar sabar ein shinoikona. Right, so there's always in the Rashi and the Ravid is are these two people Rabbi Lada and Chanina? Are these two people Beisham and Beis Hillel? Well, the bottom line is that there's a debate going on about shinoikona. Aval inyan shalume kol yamad kedmei kara meshalim. Right, but when it comes to when you pay, everyone agrees you go based on the original time for all the payments. Kediktani meshalim tashlum kevel tashlumi rav chamisha kein sheganav. Lema tehave tiyuvta derav damarav karen kin shaganav mishalim. That should be right. That should be mishalim kin shaganav and tashuni kefal tashuni rav chamisha keshas hamada bedin. Right. That's the very long question where the Gemara is simply asking. The Braisa contradicts Rav and nobody has dealt with that. So answers Rava amarava tilaim kid demei kara damim kishal achshav. Sheep go based on the original time. And money goes based on the new time. Great. What on earth does that mean, right? What is Rava's answer? The Brisa, again, Brisa said, you know, in the case where the lamb grew up to become a ram, and then you shechted it, so you pay everything based on the original value when you stole it as a lamb. Rav said, no, you pay tashlum, you pay karen based on the old time, but you pay kefel, dalden hay, based on the new times, right? So what is the... What is Rava's answer when Rava says sheep based on old value, money based on new value? That's the mystery, right? And there are three basic positions in the Rishonim. The first position is that of Rashi, right? You can look at Rashi right here. It's very short and it's very puzzling. Rashi says Talayim Kid Meikara, and Rashi says Kiloma, right? My ninth grade Rebbe, one of the things I remember him telling me was. You know, whenever Rashi says Kolomar, you must read that Rashi, because that means, by definition, that Rashi is telling you that you cannot read the literal translation of the Gemara. It's not enough to understand what the Gemara means, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't start with a Kolomar, right? In other words, means I need to know what those other words are. So what's the Kolomar? What is Rava saying when he says sheep based on old value, money based on new value? That, ba l'shalim tidlaim kid me'ikara sagi. If you are going to pay with sheep, then you go based on the original value. Why? Ditle ganav vitle mishalim. For I stole a, well, literally lamb, right? I stole a lamb, and I give back a lamb. So that's Rashi's chelak. And this is like, you know, this is Rebbe's psak. This is on a psak level. What's the distinction Rashi makes? Right? If I stole a lamb, and then it grew up, and then I shechted it. So I'm paying keren based on old value. And now I'm paying definitely kefel, right? According to Beis Shammai, Dalad and hay based on new value. So what's Rava's answer about sheep versus money? No.
It's not loud in this room.
Hmm?
It's not loud in here. There's four swimmers.
Yeah. Okay, so right, so what's Rashi saying? Rashi says you pay, if you're paying in sheep, you pay based on the old value. Just, what's the position? What's his sheep at? Yeah, so if I stole a lamb, and I pay back in lambs, then I can pay back, you know, 2, 4, 4, right? Yeah, lamb is dollar, right? So I'll pay either 2 according to Beis Hillel, 4 according to Beis Shammai, lambs. And if I'm going to pay in cash, then what do?
Shalasha,
right? So then I got to pay the full ox value. What? And they talk to me, like, you know, reactions.
It's hard to... Because which... I don't remember which toast it was that says, like, it doesn't make so much sense, because if you pay... You can just use that money and buy... lambs.
Tosas Rid.
Yeah.
Tosas exactly yeah. That. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I look at cash. Cash is, and that's actually how he's going to think it's very important. He says, I look at cash as the, you know, lamb in cash form. Right? You know, you can, you know, Kiddushin can happen with Shava Kesef, right? Because you look at Shava Kesef as Kesef in, you know, Shava Kesef form, right? So, you know, this $20 bill is a lamb that's, you know, represented by 20 bucks. Right? So what's... Clearly Rashi doesn't think that, apparently. But what's his svar? Like, really, you're going to have two totally different payments based on how you pay? Who cares how you pay? Tosfos is probably right. Who cares how you pay? Shabba kasef fi kasef, dummy. What's his svar?
Well, we've already differentiated between shabba kasef and, like, the item itself. That's an existing strand. And then the item you stole... specific items, specific sheep, so long as you have that one sheep, and that's different from cash. So we've already said that, like, for a strand for multiple things. So is it so far from saying the same thing, instead of extending it to saying a similar type item? And then what's the difference between one sheep and then, like, a literal another sheep? It's another sheep, it's the exact same thing, you can barely differentiate, like, even a shepherd might not be able to tell the difference between sheep, specific sheep. But, like, cash is not the same thing as sheep. Like, I mean, it's a chedesh in some ways that shabbi kasef kasef.
Right, exactly. In other words, to go back to the Tosas Rid from last time, where we dealt with this distinction between the two things you do when you repay, right? When I repay the Nignav, so there are two things I'm doing. I'm repaying him, and I am returning the stolen object, right? So could you make a distinction, right? I could repay, if I pay cash, then certainly I'm repaying him. But what I also can do, perhaps, is I can, you know, undo my theft. I can restore what I stole and make him whole again, undo my theft, return his object, right? That's what Rashi seems to be thinking. That you, when you give back a sheep, you are returning slash undoing your theft. And then what Kefel, Dalton Hay, is going to be simply a duplicating of the stolen object, right? I stole a sheep, now I duplicate that and I give you back two sheep. Whereas if I want to pay in cash, that means that I'm repaying, and then I'm going to have to repay you based on its current value. Now, Rashi, there are two other Rashis which support this idea, that Rashi has this svara, that Rashi strongly, is very sympathetic to the idea of the kind of duplicated original, the significance of the original object, and perhaps even its duplications, when you have Keren, Kefel, and Dalmhe. So one, kind of the more obvious one, is quoted in, I gave you both these, what are they on the sheet? Yeah, one is Samach Gimel, and the other one was Samach Zion. Okay, so let's look at one of Samach Zion first, because that's the one where it really jumps off, and then that'll explain Samach Gimel. Samach Zion with Beis, Amar Rava, that should be towards the middle. What? Yeah, exactly. Right? So the key point here is the pasuk. If you can open it, you should see this for seeing the Gemara. The pasuk is Shemos Per Chafal of Pasuk Lamed Zayin. That's the pasuk that Rava is going to darshan, and that's where this whole idea is going to come out of. So just let me know when you have the pasuk. Chaf Aleph Lamed Zayin in Shemos. Okay, everyone's got it? Says the Pasuk, Ki yignov ish shor osa, right? So someone steals an ox or a sheep, utvacho o mecharo, and he slaughters or sells it, chamisha vakar yishalem tachas ashor, he shall repay five cattle for the ox, ve'arbatzon tachas asa, and he shall pay four sheep for the sheep that he stole. So if you look at the pasuk based on what we just talked about, right, what's one factor that jumps out of the pasuk? Right, you're paying five sheep for the sheep, and you're paying five oxen for the ox, and you're paying four sheep for the sheep. So Rava says, "Amar Rava in the Gemara, Amar Krash Shor Veset Shnei Pamim Shor Veset in Midyachrina Lo." Right, you only pay Dalton Hay for Shor and Set. Amri Haymiter, right? Which one is extra, right? In other words, what's he darshaning here? E lema shor v'sed the seif. But if you're going to say it's the second shor and set, right? The pasuk had said kignov ish shor o set utvacham chamisha bakar yishalim tachas hashor barbatzon tachas haset. So if I had dropped the second set, So the nefta rachmana ki yignov shor osa utvachom charo chamisha bakar yishalim tachtav verbat zon tachtav. If that's what the pasuk had said, right? If someone stole a sheep or an ox, he shall pay five oxen for it and four sheep for it, instead of saying for the ox and for the sheep. So you kasa rachmana hafti havamina by shlumitesha lekol echad beechad. Right? Then I could have read it as saying you got to pay nine. Right? That I got to pay five oxen and four sheep for each one. So that's a bad way to have the pasuk be written. V'chitim haksiv tachtav doesn't, in replacement for it, imply that it's no five for one and four for the other. Haksiv tachtav cha tachtav miather. So hahumi ba'elei lejash achrina desanya yachal ganav shor shavim mana yisham tachtav negidin. Right? Perhaps I could repay the, you know, the first dream of Paro, you know, sheep with all the skinny second dream of Paro sheep, right? So, you know, I stole one fat sheep, and I'll pay you back with, you know, five nasty skinny sheep, right? So Tam Alomar, Tachtav, Tachtav. Right, but so that is, well, what's the Havamina here, right? Now, is the Havamina, what are the Havamina that I could repay your one, you know, beautiful, fat, you know, juicy animal with five little skinny guys?
Same kind of animal.
What?
What's the Havamina that would be allowed?
Yeah.
Because it's still that type of animal.
Exactly. In other words, you know, on a compensation level, this doesn't make any sense, right? I stole an animal that was worth $100, and he said I got to pay four or five times, so I should have to pay, obviously, four or five times the value, right? But perhaps if there's also an idea of replacing, right, kind of duplicating the stolen object, so if I'm going to pay in shepsels, then if I gave, you know, if I give four or five skinny ones, then that would be sufficient as well, right? So that line, the Gemara has, right, maybe you could pay with Negidin, and then we say, no, right, Tachtav, you have to replace it. Right, so that really helps point us to this idea that there's, you know, there's a concept of restoring the animal and paying in duplicates of the animal, right? Tachtav tells me it's not enough to just give you animals and replace the animal you took. I have to replace the actual animal. I have to give a duplicate animal, right? So again, if that's the case, then that helps Rashi's contention that when you're paying for the lamb that became a ram, you can repay him only in lambs. This idea comes up again earlier on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph in a different context. The Gemara here is trying to figure out when you do and don't pay kefal. At one point, the Gemara says you do not pay kefal for something which is called a davar. Davar she'ino mesuyam. The question is, what is a davar she'ino mesuyam? Right? How do you translate ino mesuyam? I don't even know how to translate it. What? Something that's not precise. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Right? That's so. Something that's not precise, you do not pay kefal for. What is something which is not precise? So Rashi says it is something that the owner has no simin for. In other words, there's no way for the owner to identify this as his object. If there's no way you can identify this as your object, then there's no kefal penalty. So Tosfos jump in and they say, by the way, the other things you know that there's no kefal for are karka and their land, shtaros and avadim, which have no gneva. So Tosfos jump on Rashi. They say Rashi makes no sense at all. What difference does it make, right? Why do I care if a thing has a simen or doesn't have a simen, right? Something can, you know, it's certainly stealable. It's a regular metalklin. It's just, you know, something that's been mass-produced. It's something that's mass-produced, and therefore, you know, the owner has no simon. He can't positively identify this as his object. But why should that have any ramifications for kefa, right? There's definitely a maisa geneva here. So what on earth is going on, right? Tosfos don't like it, and they don't even, you know, bring any sources. They just say kasha. What do I care? Mali yeshva sim mali ein bo simon. Why is the alarm linked to, like, this thing freaking out? I'm not sure. Okay. But so anyway, so the answer again seems to be that Rashi attaches special significance to the original chafza ha-nigna, right? The original stolen object itself. You see that in the fact that if I'm going to pay back in sheep, then I can restore and duplicate and pay back four lambs for the lamb I stole, even though when I repay, I have to pay you back in current monetary terms. And you see that on Samach Gimel, Rashi says, look, if I have this object which, you know, has no intrinsic significance because it's just one of a million ones they made in China. There's no simon here, right? So I can't look at this as the stolen object, you know, right, that the Geneva happened to this object and now I need to, you know, restore it to him. No, there's no simon here. It's a regular, you know, it's totally interchangeable with, you know, 1,000 million other different things. And since that's the case, Rashi thinks that there's not going to be any kefal, right? These all three of these, right? The sugya about the negidin, having about, you know, paying back on the skinny animals, the Rashi here about the paying back in lambs, and the Rashi about you only pay kefal if something is a unique has a simon, you know, readily identifiable, you know, has its own independent value, own independent identity object, I think they all seem to go together. And I saw in the notes that, Ray Rosenzweig said something similar, so he's with me, I think. Okay, Adkan for Rashi. We have 2 minutes left to tackle the Re and Takarinatam. So the Re, again, right, on the question of Talayim Kedameyikara and Damim Kedahashta, right? So Rashi gives this position. Nobody agrees with, nobody else agrees with Rashi. The Re gives the answer that most of the Rishonim say, which is Talayim Kedameyikara refers to when the object itself has changed. When the object itself has changed, you will go based on the old value. When the value of the object has changed, that we don't look as anything significant, right? Just the market fluctuations. And when there are market fluctuations, we will go based on the new value. Which makes sense in a certain way. In other words, if I want to look at, the connection between the owner and, or was there a change in this object? Or is there a change in this object which demands paying based on the old value as opposed to the new value? So the Re will say, if the object itself changed, right, not enough to have a shinoi, but there was a change, so that's significant, and it's going to make you go back to the old value. If there is a market value fluctuation, that doesn't mean anything at all, right, and therefore you're going to go based on the current value. That's the basic argument of the Re.
When you say a shinoi versus change, does that mean, is that a similar type of change but on a different level? Or is it different entirely, meaning like it's an external change?
It's a great question. The big problem in the Re is that the Re uses the line Rabbi Chanina about, right, I didn't steal a baby animal, I didn't steal a big goat, I stole a baby animal. Which Rabbi Chanina didn't think was a shinoi. Right, even though we halacha lemaisa do, so it's a case where Rabbi Chanina himself is rejected because we said that that is a shinoi and there's a kinyan, but the Re thinks that the svara underlying his argument we accept. Right, in other words, there is a that we think is a shinoi, but if I have a more subtle change, for example, he has the case where it's still the same old ram, just now it's a fatter, juicier ram. Then we're going to go based on the old value, right? An animal which is still the same, just it's fatter and juicier, that's a not quite a shinoi change, but enough of a change to make you pay based on the old value. That's the argument of the Re. Yeah, the R.
In terms of explaining the words of the Gemara, are you trying to say that the word dummy implies a worth? The word dummy implies worth, and that's why dummy refers to it?
Yes. If there's a change in the tleh, exactly. Right. That's his parshanut of the Gemara. Most of the Rishonim say this. Okay, there's a lot to say, but we'll hold off on that for another time. And then finally, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has his distinction at the end, where Rabbeinu Tam thinks that Tla'im refers to the Braisa about the Tleh, and Dummim refers to our case before in the Gemara. And Rabbeinu Tam says is that you will pay based on an ironclad rule, you will pay based on the old value if there was a appreciation in value, and you will pay based on the new the new value if there is a depreciation in value, right? In the case of the Tleim, was one where where it fattened up.
How does he get that from the word
So he says, because Rabbeinu Tam says when Rava said Tla'im Kedameyikara, he means the brisa about the Tla'im.
And so then we just contrast that with the word Dami. Even though the word Dami doesn't necessarily actually connote depreciation in any way. Is that
Dummim is a code word is shorthand for Rav's case. Rav's case on Samach Hamad Aleph. Right, which is, there we're only dealing with a change in value. So, okay, that's the end of time. Anyway, starting next time, I'll send you guys some reports, and we'll start with Yeish, and that's going to be, a fun sigla that will last for a while. Okay.
This
was
so fun.
What?
This was so fun.
What?
I really like this sigla.
Yeah?
Yeah.